Well, good morning. As Jeff said, we're making history today because never in the history, long history of this church has a 93-year-old man attempted to bring a message. I've teased you a few times about this was the last one, but this is it. No more. I have agreed to have a funeral, but I'm hoping I die first. Because age does take its toll. The mind is willing, but the body's weak. So I know when it's time to quit. Betty always worried that I would know when it was time to quit. I'd hang on. And I'm almost doing that. But this is it. But I do appreciate the opportunity to do this one more time. Before we read the scripture, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, from whom all gifts, perfect gifts arrive, we thank you for your word has been preserved down through the years. And we would ask now that you would help us to remove from our minds the cares of yesterday and the concerns for tomorrow, that we may truly worship you. It's in all things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Scripture lesson today is taken from Matthew's Gospel, the 25th chapter, beginning to read at verse 31 through the remainder of the chapter. Listen. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from his goats. He will put the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and you clothed me? And when did we see you sick or in prison to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I was needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Then they will answer, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison? It did not help me, did not help you. And he will reply, I'll tell you the truth. Whoever did not do that for one of the least of these did not do it for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. To really understand what is happening here, we need to go back to the 20th chapter of Revelation. And here we read, this was by John, the elder John, the only disciple who did not die a martyr's death, lived to be a ripe old age, well over 100 years of age. But while on exile in the Isle of Patmos, God revealed to him through his angels the things that were to happen, the things that had to be done. So there we read. Then I saw a great white throne for him who was seated on the earth, and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book was open, which was the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Then the sea gave up their dead, and they were in it. And death and Hades gave up their dead, were in it. And each person was judged according to what was done. That was an example of the great trial that we stand before us, great judgment day. But Matthew invites us into the very courtroom where that judge is taking place. Because we read that that the Son of Man comes in his glory. That's Jesus we know. And he begins to judge. No words are spoken because according to Revelation, our deeds are recorded in this mysterious book. No need for it. He just points to the right or the left. The good guys over here, the bad guys over here, right and left. So I want us to think about this morning. If we were being judged, if we were one of those, where would we stand based on the criteria we have here? So let's look for a minute at what the good people were doing. For he says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I think we've all done that. We've helped feed the poor. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Now, this one may cause some problems for us, because in today's society, we are encouraged to avoid strangers. If we see a stranger in our community, what are we supposed to do? Supposed to call the sheriff or the police and let them check him out, because he's a stranger. So here this is one of the criteria they were judged on. Whether they would invite the stranger, have compassion on him. When I was moderator, I was going to Due West, I was going through the little town of Honey Path, and I received a $400 speeding ticket. And they told me, since you're out of state, we don't think you'll be wanting to come back for the trial, so you can go around here and pay it. And so I told people jokingly that scripture fulfilled that day. I was a stranger, and he took me in. But I fooled them. I went back for trial and pleaded my case, and it was a good day's work, because I think I ended up paying a $40 fine rather than a $400 fine. But that being said, let's move on. And then he says that I was sick and in prison. He looked after me. I was in prison, and you did not visit me. For me, this is where the red flag goes up. I've never in my life visited anybody in prison. But it gets worse. A number of years ago, after Sunday lunch, went in and got the Panthers on the TV, sat down in my recliner and did what a lot of people do on Sunday afternoon, dropped off to sleep. Sometime later, I realized something was ringing. It was my telephone. I reached for it and answered it. And this female voice on the other end said, will you accept a call from the Earl County Jail? And I said, no. I hung up and I said, what have I done? Somebody, I have no idea who it was, found themselves in Earl County Jail, and they thought for some reason or other I could be some help to them. And I didn't even take the call. I immediately scrolled down to get the number, but called. I called back and got a recording. This number does not accept incoming calls. What could I do? Somebody thought I could help them, and I didn't even take the call. Is that the way a Christian should act? I want you to know that that has haunted me ever since. A little sidebar, maybe it'll help you understand where I was coming from. When I used to travel for a living, I quit in 69, built two chicken houses. But I always called Betty at the sometime after I found out what motel I was going to be in, hotel I was going to be in, and let her know where I was in case she needed me for some reason. And to find out how her day went. And I remember this one time. I called her, can't remember where now. I said, how was your day? And I remember it quite well. She said, well, I mailed 100 letters. I took your mother to the hospital. The vacuum cleaner salesman tried to kiss me. And the cows got out. Now, the only thing I heard in that conversation was the cows got out. And I latched on to it immediately, wanted to know, well, how'd they get out? She said, well, I don't know. Heard some horns blowing. I looked, and they were coming up the old mountain road, six or eight of them. I said, well, what did you do? She said, well, I knew I had to do something, so went out the barn, opened the gate, tried to get around them, and this nicest highway patrolman came by and stopped to help me. Howard Wellman was passing by. He stopped and helped me. Between the three of them, we got the cows up. And she said, as the patrolman was closing the gate, I said, well, thank goodness none of them got killed. And he said, well, thank goodness nobody got killed. But my point is, of those things that I should have been more concerned about went over my head. I didn't even realize it was being said. I said, well, that's good. I'll check the fence when I get back. Hate of a girl, love you, bye. And then I got to thinking, did she really say something? What did she say? Did she say that she took my mother to the hospital? Did she say somebody tried to kiss her while I was gone? So I thought I'd better call back. So I called back. He said, well, I thought you might call back once you thought about what I'd said. Betty used to call this selective hearing. You hear what you want to hear. And I guess there's a lot of truth to that. Because what I should have heard, those things that really concerned me, was taking my mother to the hospital and somebody trying to kiss my wife while I'm out of town. But I didn't really hear that. All I heard was my cows were out. So maybe this is why I didn't hear that. Will you accept a call from the jail? I just didn't want to hear it. What were these bad guys doing? I tell you, Jeff, I told you to prolong it. We're going to beat the Baptists to the cafeterias today, I guarantee you. Because I'm drawing to a close here pretty soon. What were these bad guys doing? Well, they weren't doing anything. They were absolutely missing in action when they should have been doing something. I can think back to my life, the times that I didn't do any things I should have done. I failed to do it, and I'm sure you all stand there. So maybe we should worry about the things that we did not do rather than the things we did do. These are called sins of omission. Because these bad guys were all condemned for things that they did not do, not what they did do. So we all worry too much probably about the things that we did do. We should be worrying about the things we failed to do. I can look back in my life many times when somebody was using the Lord's name in vain, and I didn't say, please don't do that. You're talking about my friend. or when neighbors or friends were being maligned, I said nothing. I'm sure we're all guilty of that. I think one of the most profound statements ever made, in my opinion, was made by a man named Francis of Assisi. This man born into the lap of luxury, but gave it all away when he met Christ. And the statement he made was this: preach the gospel every day. If that fails, use words. I want to say that again because it's important. Preach the gospel every day. If that fails, use words. What this man was saying to the people of his day, and I'm saying to you here this morning, let us live lives that they will see the love of God in our actions, and we will not need to speak any words. We had a minister in this church one time that did just that. Trying to think of his name now. Presley. William Barron Presley. Barbara McClure's great-great-grandfather. He left here and went to Statesville, formed the first ARP church in Statesville, and became the first public instruction of the superintendent of public instruction of the city of Statesville. But a little bio I read on him said that when he walked the streets of Statesville, he would leave home fully clothed, but he may come home in shirt sleeves because he'd meet somebody that was cold and he would take his overcoat off and give them to him. He'd meet somebody else that needed a coat. He'd take his coat off and he would come home in shirt sleeves. That's what that man was doing. He was preaching the gospel, showing the love of Christ to the people he met. And that's what these good people were doing in the parable today. They were preaching the gospel. They were expressing the love of God. Everybody they met. That's what the good people were doing. And that's what Francis of Assisi encouraged the people of his day is doing. And that's what I'm encouraging you to do today. So these good people were preaching the gospel as they went. Dear friends, go out and do likewise. Amen.